This is Radioactive Magazine, a KKFI public affairs of progressive activism, opinion, and commentary. Opinions expressed on this program are those of the speakers alone and are not necessarily the views of KKFI, its staff, volunteers, board of directors, show hosts, or other guests on the program.
This is KC Radioactive Magazine on KKFI 90.1 FM, KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. And this evening, we're here in the studio with Dee Berry, Ben Chalsas, founding co-members, co-founding members of the U.S. Green Party, and Dave Kingsley, an expert in many topics, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, a Green Party member, and myself, Sharon Lockhart. I am a recently converted member of the Green Party. Jill Stein was here in town, did a conference this summer, spent a night or two at my house, and I had the opportunity to hear her speak. She was the presidential candidate for the Greens in 2012, and she related staying with a party that isn't serving you is like staying in an abusive relationship, and that just resonated with me, having been in an abusive relationship for a number of years and not able to have the courage to get out of it, and finally saying, I've had enough, I'm done, and moving out on the other side. And that's how I feel about the parties that I've been loyal to all of my life. We have this two-party system that isn't working for us. We all know it. They're corrupted. They're purchased and bought by corporations. And I've said enough. I've introduced and set the tone here, I think. Who wants to speak to that, about what do we do about this dysfunctional two-party system?
Well, one way, of course, is to organize a third party, which is very, very difficult in the United States because all of our politics are set up for two-party systems, which is winner-take-all, and it has produced a very dysfunctional system at this point. And so how do we move beyond that? Those of us here tonight think it's through a third party. I'm sure other people would have other suggestions, but this is the route we are going.
Well, I think the third party, as far as the Greens are concerned, here is a party that really has a terrific message. It's a message that is saying that so many of our problems are interrelated, interconnected, and really that there are solutions out there that are interconnected and interrelated. And it's based then on the sense that everything is again interconnected, and that if we can understand that we need to do a better job of organizing, to see the dots being exactly an approach to go, that yes, indeed, here is the corporate capitalist system that, in my estimation, is part of the larger problem, and that if we are going to deal with this malfunctioning political, economic system, and being fully aware of the elephant in the room, the global disruption problems that we have, that thus, yes, indeed, we have to turn to a party that can present very powerful messages, and that's the Green Party.
I think it's time that the time is now, in fact, for a Green Party. We need to begin to stop looking at the difficulties of a third party. I know the Libertarians are on the ballot in Kansas. I think they're on the ballot in Missouri. If they can do it, we can do it. There's a lot of people on the left, on the progressive side, that don't fit in the Democratic Party anymore. I agree with what's been said here, that the two parties are now so dominated by the financial services industry. I mean, that's what we really have to look at. We don't have two parties. We've got two branches of one party, but they all lead, the paths all lead back to the same group of funders, which, as Ben said, are the corporations. So it's time. The time's now. That's the only choice we really have. I agree with Sharon that it's like being in an abusive relationship. Some of us over time will finally try to leave, and some of us have left. So I left. I was a Democrat way back when Eugene McCarthy ran for president. I worked for Eugene McCarthy. I tried to stay loyal. But, you know, you got to have a core set of values. And when you force your candidates out who are backed by labor just because you want an independent to run and beat the next guy, that says you have no core values anymore.
Another thing to add to what you're saying, Dave, is that there are, at least 40% to 50% of the people out there that aren't even voting. Right. So we've got a really big population that we can appeal to that have quit voting because there's no choice.
And, you know, I think that's interesting. That's always presented as people who don't care. I think it's people who are cynical, and I think they're looking for a home, and I think we should study that non-voting public out there a lot more and see why they're angry, why they've given up on the political system, and try to bring them in.
You know, the mainstream media and the corporate politics keeps people cynical on purpose because then they're not going to get out and do anything. As long as they are told, it's always been this way, it's always going to be this way, they're not going to make any changes. So we'd really have to not only get to those people, but spur them on to become involved.
I agree. I think they would get excited at someone that's trying to shake up the system.
And in addition to the fact that there should be involvement and some action, I think this is the wonderful part of the green message, that it also wants to deal with action of programs. And once that the Greens can be there helping with efforts like Jobs Now, with dealing with health care reform, and people see that and they get involved in it, and that there are many ways to get into organizational efforts. Part of it then, what I was just referring to, being involved in Jobs Now in food security. So, again, I think it's being involved in a movement, involved with action programs.
I have been paying attention to the Roosevelt PBS special this week, and I'm embarrassed to say I was not aware of so much of the history of FDR. And I was watching that, and I was so inspired by his belief that people needed to be helped. So different from what's happening in D.C. now. They're turning their backs on the people who are without jobs and without food and without homes. And you know, it just made me hope that people were watching that and would rise up and say, we have forgotten what this country is about and what values we should stand for. It's about the people, not about the corporations and their profits. This is absolutely absurd.
I think what was really exciting about Roosevelt, too, was that he was really into cooperation and working together and really pushed that. If you just oppose his fireside chats, which moved toward bringing people in and bringing them together, and when he said the only thing to fear is fear itself, while the other part of the country, world, that was moving toward fascism, they were up there screeching fear and hate and racism. And Roosevelt was doing almost the opposite, and it worked. I mean, it worked then. It really pulled the country in a different direction. It transformed politics. And that's what we need right now, is a transformation of our political system.
I think if you looked at FDR's Economic Bill of Rights, that he said people have a right to education, they have a right to a job, they have a right to health care. All those rights that people need to live a normal human life. And you look at the Green Party platform, and it fits right into the Green Party platform. So anybody listening can just Google Green Party platform and read that, what we believe, what our core values are as Greens. So I think that's why I get, I almost get choked up when I hear Roosevelt read that. I've seen video of him reading his Economic Bill of Rights.
And history proved it worked. I mean, we moved to a very prosperous era. I mean, we couldn't have been more successful in that, and we've given it all up.
That's right.
It just doesn't make sense to me that we were moving in that direction, we were prosperous, we're the leaders of the world, and now we've moved completely away from it. They're trying to destroy as much of the New Deal as they can.
I think one program which the Greens are beginning to work on is now called Green New Deal, which really is bringing into our century, into this period, a great approach for many of us was Roosevelt's New Deal. And it dealt with many of these problems we're talking about. And so here is the present-day Greens, Jill Stein and her candidacy dealt with that. And I think it has tremendous potential in that, again, it's bringing into our period the kind of principles and the approach that Roosevelt had, and then to recognize that here, yes, we have to deal up front in a very deliberate way, deal with climate disruption. And so we're going to then have to turn around in a very basic way the approach from a fossil fuel approach, capitalist approach, to the economy, to much more of a cooperative, a program that we're going to turn then to more of a self-reliant approach that would deal with the alternative energy approaches. So I think this is one thing to look into. And if any of you are listening to this, I would suggest to Google Green New Deal, and you'll find it, I think, very interesting.
Yeah, the Green Platform, I Googled it earlier today, and it's just awe-inspiring, the topics that they talk about and the values that we aren't addressing in our current day politics. It's more about protecting corporations. I was at the dentist today, and my dental hygienist whispered to me what her feelings were about fluoride in the water and the toothpaste and the toxins that are in the toothpaste that we are using. And she gave me the name of a toothpaste. I guess you can find them at Whole Foods that don't have all the poisons in them. And she literally whispered it to me.
Why do you suppose she's whispering? Was it not okay for her to say that? Was she?
No, she wouldn't want her profession to have heard her bad-mouthing fluoride in the toothpaste.
I know when I go to the doctor's office, I almost invariably ask them, how do you feel about single payer? Because that's been on the green agenda for years. But when you're talking about the platform, if you Google that too, you will find that the Greens, we've been in this country for 30 years, and over those 30 years, we have really developed some workable, practical, creative solutions to so many of the problems, but we are not in the government. You know, it's so hard to get in the government here that we can't really move from the inside. That was one advantage Roosevelt had. He was the leader of the government. That's why he was so successful. And it's going to be a long time before the Greens get there. So what do we do in the meantime?
Well, the time's getting short. And I'm getting nervous because I heard a scientist tonight say that by 2030, at the rate we're going, the forests will collapse, the oceans will collapse because of the heating of the climate and because of the CO2. And if we continue down the fossil fuel path that we're on, the amount of methyl mercury that's going to be in the air, we all have methyl mercury in our bodies right now. And you know, that's not necessary. That's happening to us because of greed, and that's what we started out talking about, that both parties have bought into it, or their whole system depends on that greed. And so we're looking at such a crisis. I mean, I don't know how we can get that across to the public. But I think the Green Party has to start growing and organizing and bringing people in, because the time is really, really short.
It is.
We're listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio, and we're talking with Greens, Dave Kingsley, Ben Chelsis, Dee Berry, and I'm Sharon Lockhart. And we're sharing, how do we organize, or what is our next step? How do we organize a third party in this country that has the values to meet the people's needs?
Well, Sharon, you and I right now are organizing to reinvigorate the Kansas Green Party, which has been really not very active for the last few years. So we're trying to move into that area of Kansas. Really need some help. So,
and I talk to people who are disenchanted with the two parties, and so I think it should be easy to reach out to people and get people to talking about there's a third way, there's another way. In other countries, I came back from Spain in May, and they had an election. I believe it was 40% of the people voted, and I never did talk to a cab driver who was planning to vote, but they elected, I believe, 11 different parties to the European Union. And, of course, the Greens were on there, and the Women's Party, and many, many parties are in other countries.
Well, the reason the Greens aren't on any here, of course, is it's winner-take-all. Many times, Greens have run for office, and they've gotten a higher percentage of votes than they have in Europe. But we end up with nothing. And if they get 10% of the vote, they get 10% of the seats in Parliament. So they are in the government there. And I think that's one reason why Europe is much greener than the United States. They are there and they're listened to. The problem is the mainstream media doesn't pay any attention to you if you're not in the power establishment. So it's really hard even to get our message out.
I think what we need to do is, and it's time we do this, is to begin to put in place an infrastructure, a political party infrastructure, which includes a really good, high-powered media presence, which I think it's something we have to learn. How do we get our message to the media and force the media to listen to us? You know, if the Tea Party showed up at the state legislature or the state capitol with 300 people, it'd be big news. If we show up with 300 people, which we did, the Greens were part of it last year. We hardly got any coverage in the Star. We did get some on Rachel Maddow. So I think we have to do that. We have to begin to put our people in place to run for offices, local. I don't care if it's school board. I don't care if it's water board. I don't care what it is. We need to get people running, young people, old people. I don't care. So I really think we have to develop that infrastructure.
And I think, in addition, we can play a very important role by being a catalyst. So that with our message, then, a basic principle that everything is interconnected, and we realize that there are the many particular issues out there, civil rights, media reform, and the other issues, that they all have an interconnection. And I think with our basic message, we have a place an exceedingly important place at the table. And I'm reminded of a very powerful quote, which many of the Greens have made, and that is, if there is to be a future, it has to be green. In other words, we have to recognize how closely we related to Mother Earth. We are part of Mother Earth. And here the Greens, whether ecological tenet of ecological wisdom, has something exceedingly important. In fact, I think it's actually imperative that those of us who recognize and are active with the Green Party, the Green Movement. In fact, there are really two approaches, one the Green Party and the Green Movement, and that we then have an exceedingly vital message to give, and it calls for us then to take an imperative kind of action.
That I think that's an interesting point, Ben. We are both a movement and a party. Yeah. We are also global. There are Greens all over the globe. So we, and they have had global meetings of the Greens, so that we also have a global connection. The problem is ecological literacy and talking about ecology is not, it doesn't grab people. But it is so important to understand that principle. And I think Greens sometimes get hung up on talking about that, which is terribly important to our message, but it isn't always comprehensible to the people listening to us.
One thing I want to say, and this is nitty-gritty on the ground in Kansas City, Kansas, Missouri, I don't care. We are marginalized by mainstream media, and we should not stand for that. If there are liberals out there listening to this, I want them to understand that we make every effort to be on the local NPR, the local PBS, but we're shut out. There's no doubt. We have plenty of evidence of that. When Jill Stein was here, local NPR wasn't even interested in talking to her. We don't have to stand for that, and we have to clarify that particular marginalization that's going on and let people know that's wrong and we're not going to put up with it.
Thank goodness for KKUK.
KKFI, Kansas City.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But we need to strike out in the broader media and also the two parties. I mean, if you were on the progressive left of the Democratic Party in Kansas, you were marginalized. That's been the case. I know, because I worked for Jesse Jackson's campaign in Kansas. So I think we have to be honest with each other, and then we have to be honest with everybody else out there that, hey, look, you're marginalizing us. We've got the right approach to the climate problem we're all facing. All of the other issues that are out there that the two parties are ignoring.
And we've been talking about it for 30 years. We were talking about peak oil 30 years ago in the Green Party. Mm-hmm. And now other people are catching up with us. But that's not what the media is interested in. They're really interested in violence and sex.
Well, they've picked out their own stars, their own people. They're going to be with the star like Dave Helling and Steve Kraske, and those guys are acceptable. And if you challenge them, then you're not acceptable. And so they keep everything pretty much within the confines of the two parties. In fact, I heard Dave Helling say on Rachel Maddow, there is no progressive movement in Missouri.
I did too.
And when I told him, yes, there is, he said, well, but you guys don't win elections. I said, well, if you don't cover us and give us attention, that's really important for a political party. So we have to begin to really push back on those guys.
We tried to start our own newspaper. You know, we've been in here for 30 years, and that was one of our issues at one time, but we didn't get anywhere with it. It's very difficult, as you well know. So we're really kind of stuck with that one. And as you say, we're going to have to start challenging them because there isn't anything else.
We had 400,000 people march in New York. We had a few hundred down at Mill Creek Park, yeah. But that was not covered. Now, this is outrageous. You know, I mean, for that much, oh, yes, we have seen something about the 400,000 on MSNBC.
You're talking about just this last weekend.
This last weekend, correct. That's right. And that's pretty typical. If 300 Tea Party members gather in Washington, D.C., it's big news. It's covered because it somehow that seems
it's not threatening to them.
And I think Tea Party and a bunch of people in three-cornered hats sort of, you know, that's something catches. It's like a car wreck, you know. People want to watch that.
Well, not only that, but that shows the connectedness of everything. They're connected to the Koch brothers, to the oil industry,
true.
To the people that are the corporate. That's running corporate. Anyway, but they're running our government. They're also. Right. They're allowing those sorts of things to be part of the mainstream media because they are part of the government.
And they allowed, the media allowed that turf, what do you call it, not a grassroots, but a turf grass movement, you know, or what's the term I'm trying to come up with here? It was not really a grassroots movement. That was paid for and pushed by Fox News and the Koch brothers, you know. So.
And they portrayed it as grassroots.
Yeah.
I think we really need to be thinking about resistance in terms of dealing with these dire situations. There's a new book coming out called Deep Green Resistance by Derek Jensen. And it's dealing with strategies in dealing with these powerful programs, these very dire problems we have. And I think that definite efforts need to be underway to deal with strategic planning in terms of what can be a kind of resistance that can be meaningful and helpful in these dire times in which we live.
Well, thank you so much, Ben Chelsis, Dee Berry, and Dave Kingsley. Time is drawing to a close here, and we do have a song from change.org queued up. A change. Can you read what that says? Track 10?
Which one?
Track 10.
A change is going to come.
A change is going to come that we want to play on the way out. But any parting words for people? Who can they contact if they'd like to get involved with the Green Party in Missouri or the new Kansas reinvigoration?
For Missouri, they can contact me, Ben Chelsis, KJELSHUS. My phone number, 816-623-3006.
And for Kansans, they can contact me. I'd rather have you do it by email, and my email address is dberrygkc@gmail.com.
Great. And Dave, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Let's get it moving and get going.
Great. Thanks so much for all of you coming down here.